thankful for all that he does and gives and makes work in our lives. And, you know, Sam was talking, it kind of reminded me back to when the first storm hit, about how we sat in the house, and I think it got down to just under 40 in the house when the power was out, and it was cold, and we were wrapped up and everything else. And but our mood never got away from us, right? Our sentiment and our feelings never got away from us, right? And, you know, Sam was like, you know, I'm thankful. There's a roof over the head that, you know, keeps the majority of the heat in, and we're managing, and we're getting through, and we got plenty of blankets and all of this. And I just had the thought, you know what? I'm thankful it's not some older couple or some baby that couldn't survive it, you know, that couldn't deal with it and make through it. And if the Lord needed it to happen to someone, glad it was me, right? And I think so often we are quick to worry about our own comfort, and we are quick to worry about the things that make us feel good about ourselves, feel good about our life, feel good about situations and scenarios, and feel good about people, right? They need to look at us the right way. They need to talk to us the right way, or if not, we don't feel good about it. And we allow all of these things to drive us to a place that we create our world around, right? But this morning, I want to remind you that our world was never meant to be wrapped around us, right? So going back close to a year now, I've been praying about this series, a series about biblical unity, and a series about getting over ourselves and really getting into Jesus. And I've been praying about it, and I've been waiting for God to bring us to a place that I felt like he wanted to give it. And you know me, I'm constantly just studying and creating series and taking notes and different things like that. I've probably got more already prepared and outlined and studied than I'll ever preach. And then I just kind of wait for God to take me to the one that he wants after the one I'm on. And I really felt the pressing a few weeks ago. Biblical unity, it's time. I was like, okay, so I pulled the notes out on that. I began studying through them again. And I remember getting to this place a couple weeks ago where I was like, God, this has to be about more than just unity. I don't want to preach a message about, hey, be nice to each other, right? Because we all know we live in a world that's just not going to do that, right? We're all too caught up in our things to be nice to someone. I mean, my goodness, we can't even have a Wingstop civilly in this place, right? I mean, we just can't do it, right? Because we want what we want. We want it how we want it. If our hand isn't shaken the right way, if our ego isn't edified the right way, well, then that person's just not on my level. That person's just not someone I can get along with. Well, maybe that person's not for me and my family. Maybe that church isn't for me and my family, right? And if this is how we think, this is how we operate. If our existence in the church, let alone in Jesus, is based on our emotions and based on our feelings, dude, we're here for the wrong reasons, and it's probably not for you. It's probably not for you because you're not in a place where you're ready to receive what it is you're really here for, right? You've heard me say so many times that so many of us grab a cross and we start with the cross, and so many of us grab this and start with this, and so many of us grab that and start with that, and so many of us focus on this and that, and we were never meant to start there. Jesus was very clear, and you've heard me say this time and time again, and some of you are going to roll your eyes in your mind because you don't want me to see it. But some of you are going to roll your eyes and you're going to think, oh, here we go with the deny yourself stuff again. Yes, yes, we are, right? Jesus said it clearly to me and to you. If you are going to follow after me, what does that mean? I mean, number one, if you're gonna follow me, if you're gonna walk with me, but number two, it also means if you're gonna follow after me, meaning when I'm gone, if you're gonna carry on my name, then you need to deny yourself first. That's the task. Until we meet that task, there is no other task. Until we achieve that, there's nothing more. There's nothing next. There is no next until we achieve denying ourselves, right? And I think it's important that we understand that as we step into Babel Unity. And you guys are probably thinking, yeah, it's important that we understand that on every series, Jay, because you always bring it up. And maybe it's true. Maybe it's because I'm constantly reminding myself. I've got a note on my nest that says, deny yourself. Every time I pick up the phone, I see it. Every time I go into a conference call, I see it. Every time I go to type an email, I see it. Deny yourself. What does it mean? It means take me out of it. Take my needs out of it. Take my ego out of it. Take my universe, self, the things that make me happy, take me out of it and start serving him. Right? So I think we need that reminder because when we think about how we're going to position this thing, I don't want to just throw the same scriptures that you can go home and do a Google search on Unity and get and find and read them and be like, oh yeah, the Bible says that. Yeah, cool. Right? No, I want us, you know me, if we're gonna dig into something, man, I want to go deeper in it, right? I want to unearth, right? Because we got too much earth, way too much earth in us, right? Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount gave us a prayer to pray. He said, when you pray, pray like this, right? And he says, let it be done in earth as it is in heaven, amen? He didn't say on. We've said on for years because some Sunday school teacher years ago was using a wrong translation and told us it was on. It's not on, it's in. If you go back to the original text, it is in. Now, if you're using a modern text, it'll say on. But go back and look in the earlier text, it will say in. Let it be done in earth, in me, as it is in heaven. Amen? And what Jesus was modeling for us there is he was modeling this idea of self-denial, this idea of stripping off flesh, this idea of stripping off earth. Amen. Last week I told you that how do we spend our day? Most of us spend our day picking apples, right? Picking apples. Oh, I've got this decision and God's not giving me the answer I want quick enough. So like Eve, I'm just going to go pick an apple, right? That's what Eve did, right? Right? Oh, this guy, this slimy guy is offering me the same thing God's offering me, but God wants to walk me through it and have connection and have compassion and have communion as he walks me through it. This guy's telling me I can just eat this apple and have it. What do? We go eat the apple. Every single time we go eat the apple. Amen? I had someone talk to me this week, and they say, but my experience, what I have encountered and what I have felt, I said, is emotion. No, it's not. I said, listen, here's where you're going to go with this with me, right? I am not going to build on experience. Why? Because it's shifting sand. No, it's not. It is. And the reason it is because guess what? Even Jesus had an experience with Satan. Even Jesus had an experience with Satan. Oh, look at all I can give you. Look at all of these things I can bring. All of these things I can do. It's the same thing as the garden. Same thing as the garden. Oh, you don't like how God's doing it? Let me show you how I'll do it. And it's the same thing as what God's going to give you, right? He had the audacity to give an experience to Jesus that most of us would be like, oh, yeah, what a blessing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And yet Jesus said, nope. Amen. You say, Pastor, what does all this have to do with unity? Why is this something that you dig up in and you bring us into this idea of to start a series around unity? And it's because if we are truly going to be one, if we're truly going to be united in Jesus Christ, if we are truly going to be one body, all of these things that you'll hear me talk about the next few weeks, if we're going to become that, it will be at the expense of ourselves. If we are going to achieve that, it will be at the expense of pleasure. It will be at the expense of emotions. Amen? And so it's important that we understand where we're going before we start. In John chapter 17, whole lot of red words. Jesus walking them through a whole lot of teaching and a whole lot of understanding. And Jesus comes to this place where he prays for them. He prays for them. Now, I'm a big believer that God is no respecter of persons. And those of you looking, we're in John 17, 20. He's no respecter of persons, right? Because I stand up here on Sunday morning, he does not see me any bigger than he sees you. Right? Whatever your situation or condition is when you walk in the door, he doesn't see me any bigger than he sees you, right? And so for me to unite with you and for me to see you in a proper context, guess what? I need to see us the same way. I need to see me the same as God sees me, and I need to see you the same as God sees you, right? Because if I begin to see me puffed up, then I'm never going to see you on God's level. I'm going to see you on my level, right? I'm going to see you according to my heart. I'm going to see you according to my thoughts, right? And I'm never going to see you the way God sees you, right? I remember one time years ago, so don't start thinking it's anybody here. Years ago, I had someone come to me and they were like, I just can't get along with her, Pastor. And I don't think she can get along with me. And I said, well, I'm going to say this one thing, and then we'll continue this conversation with both of you here and not absent, because I don't want my words twisted. But I said, I'm going to tell you what your all's problem is. You refuse to see each other the way God sees you, and you choose to see each other the way you see yourself. And until you get past that, you're right. You probably never will get along. I've been doing this for 30 years. I have seen a lot of people. I've seen a lot of personalities. I've seen a lot of anointed people. I've seen a lot of called people. I tend to think I've seen it all, but then I won't say that because God's so much bigger than I am, and then he shows me something else and something new. So I won't say that, but I feel like, man, I don't know that there's any other personality that I could encounter, right? Because I think I've largely encountered them all, right? And in that time and through the years of prayer and study, I've gotten a lot of wisdom and a lot of discernment, and I can usually see things coming a mile away. Sam, when we first got married, I'd come to her and I said, "We need to be careful about such and such and such." And she goes, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "Just be prayerful. Just be prayerful about it." And sometimes it was a few weeks. Sometimes it was a couple years. And it would happen. Would it not, babe? And when we begin to see people the way God sees them, we have two choices. One, we can love that person and do everything in our power to bring that person to a reality in Jesus Christ. Or we can deal with them our way and have conflict. Right? So now that you kind of know where my heart is, and where I prayed into this, I want us to say, if you saw the picture that I make for John and we put out on Facebook and everything else, that I kind of took some scribbles of my notes and put them together into this thing, and I want to read this for you to kick it off. Woven for glory, right? I want us to think about the word woven, and we'll get to it in a minute, but I want to say this to you. God is not building a platform. God is not building a platform. He doesn't need a platform. He has a throne. He has a throne. And that throne is going to stand long before everything else dies or is consumed, actually. Amen? So he does not need an earthly platform. He does not need name and lights. When he speaks, the earth responds. Amen. That's another series you might get in a few months, right? But when he speaks, the world responds. The earth responds. When you and I ignore, right, the rocks and trees cry out, right? He doesn't need us, but he wants us. He wants us. He desires us. Amen. But we have to understand he is not building a platform. He's weaving a people. He's weaving us together. He's bringing us together to show that he can be God of me and he can be God of you. To bring us from a place that my background doesn't matter if it differs from your background. If he can bring us together in his son. Amen. The problem happens is when we, in arrogance or ignorance, choose not to be that spiritually mature, and instead we refuse to love and understand someone else and where they come from because my mind's made up. Right? He's weaving a people. Where's my crafters at? What does it mean to weave? Come on, tell me. Huh? Intertwine? Somebody else? Combine? Why when you make a blanket, let's say, right? I am no pro at this, so if I'm off pace, tell me. But why when you make a blanket per se, do you weave the blanket? Strength, so it doesn't come apart. So what? So it stays connected? It's a pattern. Okay? So we get the idea, right? I like strength, right? It all is correct and matters. But I like strength, right? So if God just puts us in a room and he says, figure out how to get along and like each other, right? What are we going to do? Hi, Grant. How you doing, Grant? Good old Grant. And what do we do when we get home? Grant drives me freaking nuts. He aggravates me. He makes me mad. That smile of his and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Making stuff up. That's why I'm doing da-da-da-da-da. Right? Right? Not how we do it, right? We're figuring out how to play it, how to look it, but not live it. Amen? Isn't that how we do it? Right? So if we take a look at unity from a standpoint of getting along, from a standpoint of being nice, amen? We should, right? If we're operating in the fruits of the Spirit, and trust me, I don't want to hear about your gifts if you ain't operating in the fruits, right? Not that interested. But here's the reality, man. If we're operating in the fruits of the Spirit, the nice stuff and the kind stuff and the loving stuff, that's going to happen naturally. Amen. So I'm not dismissing that fully, but I don't want a message about unity and a series about unity especially to be centered on that. Why? Because it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that, and we have to understand that if we truly are going to be called to it and drawn to it. Amen. We are a woven people. He's not creating a platform. He's creating a people that are weaved together. God is bringing us together, and he's weaving us through each other, with each other, to create strength and to create something that can't just easily be torn apart. He's not creating a gathering or a crowd, but he's forming a body. He's forming something that is functional. He is forming something that can complete tasks that seem bigger than the people completing them. Amen. If you look throughout Scripture, those that we're told about are the people who do the things. That do the things of heaven, do the things of God, do the things that God says they can do. Amen? We're so busy trying to figure out how to market ourselves and how to look the part and how to get this many followers and that many followers and how many likes we get on our posts and all of this kind of stuff. We've gotten so lost in that stuff. Amen, that man, we're so far from reality, it's scary in so many ways. Amen? He's not showcasing individuals. This is what I want you to grab right here. Amen? He's not showcasing individuals. Friend, you are not on display. I'm not on display. You may think that because my job is to be up here and preach the word. Amen. But those of you who know me well, there is nothing puffed up about me getting up here and doing what I do. I do this for his glory. I do this because he's worthy. And I do this because one day, a long time ago, this knucklehead figured out that his grace and his calling was greater than my ideas and my sin. And I gave up. I gave up. I, for the first time in my life, denied myself. And I submitted. God, I don't want that. I told him. I was honest, man. I didn't preach some eloquent prayer. In my moment of full conversion, amen? What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, I had a whole lot of times that I went and was emotionally converted, right? Because I felt really guilty and I felt really dumb and I wanted God to take that feeling away. But I never really surrendered myself, amen? I'm talking about the moment when I fully surrendered myself and I knelt down and I said, God, I don't want this. I don't think I'm who you think I am. But I've grown up in church long enough to know that if your mind's made up, you will make a way. And here am I. That's pretty much my offering to God. Here am I. I bring nothing to this table. I got nothing for you. I've got years of sin and years of stuff. And man, if you're going to try to figure something out with that, good luck. But I'm here for it. I surrender to it. I give myself to you, Lord. You see, what we have to understand is it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about even us. Once we are brought together, it's always about Him. It is always about Him. Amen. So friends, you and I are woven together for glory. Not my glory, not your glory, not mom and dad's glory, not our kids' glory. We are woven together for the glory of God. And so when we start thinking about unity on a level that says, this is about God and not about me being nice, it changes the perspective, right? You with me? Baby's with me. Amen. She's back there, amen, and you guys left and right. Amen. When we understand that this is about His glory, and it's not about me, it's not about you, it's not about our sign out front, and it's not about any grandeur whatsoever. It changes our perspective, or it should. It should absolutely change our perspective. Well, they're kind of hard to get along with, man. I'm just going to love them. Just going to love them like Jesus. Amen. I deal with rough people every day, man. Chicagoans, New Yorkers, New Jerseyans, all those mean Boston people, everything else. I deal with those people every day of my life, right? So I know what mean people are like, right? And so rough exterior people, amen, are usually have a rough exterior because of something they've dealt with or something they're going through, or somebody like me showed them that they weren't too much about Jesus. So I'm usually the guy that has the attitude of, okay, ain't afraid of you, ain't afraid of the rough exterior. So guess what we're going to do? We're going to be friends. We're going to be friends. Because I ain't scared. I'm not intimidated. I'm not worried about what you say about me when you go home. I don't lose any sleep over those things. Amen? But what I do care about is I care that you are someone that God has put in my path. And for some reason, He's weaving us together. And I want to find the glory in that. You listening to me? I want to find the glory in that. Amen? If your attitude ticks me off and I go pout like a 3-year-old, I'll never find the glory. You with me? I'll never find the glory. Or if I'm having a bad day and I don't treat you well, or maybe I shake your hand like this, hey, I'm glad you're here, whatever, because I'm just grumpy about something, right? You're not going to find glory in that. You're not going to find an opportunity to weave yourself with that person for the glory of God. Amen? But if I look at everybody who walks through those doors, if I look at the person checking me out at the store, if I look at the waitress who's taken too long to refill my drink, amen, y'all know how I feel about that. I will get up and leave the table if you're being a butt at the table. Amen. I don't play with that. Amen? Everybody I meet, I have an opportunity to weave glory through that relationship with the goodness of God. Amen? And so I need to treat everybody with the, man, G.B. Lewis. Love you, buddy. Glad you're here. Glad you're with us. Amen? I want to be friends. I want to be in love with each other. Amen? I want to care about what you care about. I want to understand about what your needs are. I want to pray for you, man, so that God continues his healing in your life. God continues the thing in their life, because if our connection isn't about glory, then our connection doesn't really matter. You hear me? And we can be friends regardless of glory. And some of us are, and that's okay. Amen? But every single one of us in this place need to be connected for the glory of the Lord. And if we can't, that problem isn't with GB. That problem's with me. Because I can't figure out how to navigate it. I can't put God before me. I can't put God before my family. I can't deny myself enough to find the glory in our relationship the way God does. You see, God's already found that glory. God already knows that glory. God's already ready to move in that glory. Amen? It's up to me to figure it out. Here's what Jesus says. He's been teaching all night, basically, to his disciples. And he comes to this moment in John 17, verse 20. After all of these hours of teaching, and he says this, because I imagine the disciples were sitting around the table at that moment going, whoa, this is a lot, right? And I know my messages can be that way sometimes too, not because it's a lot, but because it's a lot, right? Anyway, thank you. Some of you are laughing and helping me. I appreciate that. All right, so here we go. We're going to dig in. You ready? Ready? Everybody say, I'm ready. Everybody clap your hands one time. Clap your hands two times. Clap your hands twice and Ric Flair. Woo! Yeah, I got some. There we go. All right. I saw somebody do that online this week, and I told Sam, I was like, I'm going to do that. And I forgot about it till right then. Okay, all right, here we go. We're digging in. Verse 20, neither pray I for thee. Now, this is huge. What's Jesus saying? Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Amen. I know he intercedes for me. The Bible tells me he intercedes for me, and I believe it 100%. I believe Jesus is up there looking at God all day, every day, going, man, it's Jay again, and you got to help him. You got to help him, Father, because he means well, right? But it's Jay again, right? I know there's days like that, man. I know there's times like that he sees me and he sees my heart, but he's got to pray for me because I'm not exactly where I need to be. Understand this. Jesus is saying, I pray for you. I want that to sink in. You with me? I don't want you looking at this and going, oh yeah, Jesus prays for me. Because if that's how you see it, if that's how you think about it, if that's the depth of the power you receive from it, you don't really understand what's going on here. The only begotten Son of God, death, burial, and resurrection, sitting at the right hand of God, Son of God, is saying to me and saying to you, as he said to the disciples, praying for you. I'm calling out your name. I am making sure God and all of heaven sees you. Right? I am absolutely 100% involved in what you're doing. I am 100% engaged in what you're doing. And I 100% want to see you succeed. Okay? That's how big this is. This is Jesus telling them and telling us, dude, I got you. I'm praying for you. That they all may be one. Jesus starts out his prayer for me and you that they may be one. It's not a hope. It's not a desire. It's not a wish list. It's not Santa Claus on Christmas morning. It is Jesus the Almighty, the Alpha and Omega, saying to me and you, I want you to be one. I want you to be woven for my glory. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Oh, now he's making it personal. Now he's making it personal. Now he's saying, amen, as I'm in God, and as God's in me, I want them to be in us. I want us all to be one. And here's why. This is why I haven't made everything I've said up to this point up. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Pastor Wright for years had a thing. How you doing, Pastor Wright? Blessed, highly favored. I liked that. I thought, oh, that's cool, right? But for me, it was about knowing God loved me. Amen. So I've borrowed it, and I told him I was borrowing it. I said, but I'm changing it. He's like, oh, really? And I said, yeah. I said, because I'm blessed and highly loved. So I could care less about the favor. I'm thankful for the favor. Thankful for the favor, right? I'm not downgrading the favor at all. I'm thankful for it because I know I don't deserve it. Amen. But it's because I don't deserve it that makes me realize how much he loves me. Amen. So I am blessed and highly loved. Amen. As thou hast loved me, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. What's our title? Woven for glory. Amen. So let's break those verses down. Number one, Jesus is showing us that there is a direct connection to God in what we do. The way we live, the way we treat each other, the way we talk about each other. Amen. If you're talking negative about me, guess what? You ain't got no connection to God. Because Jesus ain't receiving that. Jesus ain't receiving that. So guess what? You should just start praying for me. And maybe I've given you a reason to talk about me, okay? I'm not perfect, right? And the reality is I'm using me as the example, but we are all in that table, right? So if somehow we've given each other a reason to talk negative or angrily or some other way about each other, amen? Then I need to pray for you. Not, oh, Lord, that Chris Lewis, you got to do something with her. I ain't dealing with that, Lord. Amen. Because here's the reality. When you start taking his child to him in that context, he ain't real happy with you. Because you're talking about his. You're talking about his child. You're talking about someone he died for. Do we understand that? Do we understand that we're talking about someone that he hung on the cross, and when the life was leaving him, he claimed before God? Amen? We need to understand the gravity of those around us. Amen? We need to understand how God sees them. We need to understand how God views them. And we need to respond accordingly. Amen? Man, I don't know. I don't know what was going on with Chris today. Here's how you pray that prayer. I don't know what was going on with Chris today, but man, I know her heart is beautiful. I know her heart is sold out to you. God, I know when I was buying a sewing machine for Sam and I had no idea what I was doing, Chris came to my rescue and gave me everything I needed to make sure it was the perfect Christmas. Right? I know she loves me. And I know she loves you, God. So whatever was going on today, whatever made her say those things, whatever made her act those ways, Lord, I forgive her. And I ask you to forgive her. And I ask you to bring blessing into her life. And I ask you to bring hope and peace into her life. And I ask you, whatever it is, that you recover that thing. And God, that you work in it. And God, that you bless it. And God, that you begin to form it in her for your glory. Because she's your child, God. She belongs to you. And I want her life to give glory back to you. So Lord, help her today. Bless her today. My goodness, if we prayed that prayer. Y'all with me? If we prayed that prayer, if we behaved that way, amen, if we make God's glory the goal rather than our own feelings and affirmations, amen, because that's where we operate. Because that's where we operate. Amen. Man, if God's glory was the goal and we begin to hold each other up like that, we begin to pray for each other like that, we begin to love each other like that, we begin to make God the center of attention like that in each other's lives, we couldn't contain this place. You want to know why these chairs are empty? Because somebody didn't want to go to church with you. Somebody don't want to go to church with me. Somebody can't believe I'm your pastor. It's probably all those people in my 20s. Okay? I'm really trying to tell you where I'm at. Amen. I run into people still to this day. Sam can tell you. I run into people still to this day in Walmart that I haven't seen in 20 years. And they're like, you're doing what? You? Really? Amen. So my challenge isn't to go home. Just see if I put you on my prayer list. Just see if I want you to come to my church. Amen? Isn't that how we act? Man, shame on us. Shame on us, amen? But what if I go home and that person that I haven't seen in 20 years, I get on my knees and I say, Lord, man, I failed that person. When I should have been showing them you, when I should have been living a life that brought your glory into the equation, I chose to bring the world into it. I chose to treat them bad. I chose to do really bad things to them, to hurt them. Lord, your glory wasn't there because I didn't bring it in. I didn't weave it in to that communication. And God, they're hurt. And God, they're confused. And God, they're struggling. Because they don't understand how your grace could work in someone's life like mine that did those things. And so God, rescue them. Rescue them. Move into their life. Show up on their door. Give them an angel. Give them a prophet. Give them something, Lord, that speaks into them and allows them to see that you love them and that you care about them the same way that you love me. The same way you gave me a chance of redemption, give them that same opportunity, Lord. Man, what if we prayed like that? What if we lifted people up like that? Amen. Instead, most of us would leave Walmart and go home. Can you believe that person doesn't know me at all anymore? Amen. I see it shared on Facebook all the time. Amen. You're still judging me for who I was 20 years ago. I left that person long behind, but that person hasn't. Right? We can post our little silly things on Facebook all day long, but the reality is that person still remembers who you were then. And if you need to fix that, you need to fix that. If you need to bring love into that equation, bring love into that equation. Amen. Maybe you're the one that needs to start weaving and make that connection. Maybe there's people from my past that won't even open the door for me. Okay? I'm just being honest with you. They won't even open the door for me. Amen? So I have to pray for God to send someone else. I have to pray for God to make an opportunity for them through someone else. Friend, this is all about God. It is not about me and you. If we think about unity and we think about biblical unity and we think about church unity based on our ability to be friends, we are way off base. We are way off base. Jesus, from the very beginning, didn't make it about me and he didn't make it about you. He made it about him and the Father. And then extended it to us. From the beginning, unity was about his place with the Father. From the beginning, the Bible tells us they were one. They were present with each other. And from the beginning, the Bible teaches us, going back to the garden and again and again and again throughout time, God trying to make a way through Jesus to himself. Amen? He did it in the garden. And we chose the apple. He did it throughout life and throughout time, and we could pick a lot of examples apart here in Scripture. But the reality, friend, is from the beginning of time, God has tried to include us in the unity he has, in the unity he has with his Son. Verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. This is Jesus talking. And he's talking about me and you. The glory God gave him. And we're not talking about whatever the awards were this week that everyone's talking about. Amen. What are those called? Grammys? I don't know. Don't care, don't know, whatever it is. Amen. I'm not talking about that. Amen. Biggest football game of the year being played tonight. Amen. Not really. I quit watching football 3 weeks ago. But when my team out, I'm out, right? But here's the reality, man. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of platforms happening, taking place all around us. A lot of people filling self-worth to tell me how to live and to tell you how to live. Amen? And a lot of us listen. A lot of us listen. A lot of, oh man, I really respect this person, and they're saying this about the world and this about life and this about all the stuff that's going on. So yeah, I'm with them. And then you got other people over here, man. This person that I really respect is telling me to think like this. So I'm going to do it. Not even going to look at it myself. Not even going to figure it out myself. Not even going to research it myself. I just respect them. I like them. They're cool, brother. So guess what? I want to be cool too. So I'm going to think like they think. I'm going to share what they share. I'm going to post what they post. Amen? Because I want to be like that. Amen? That's why we got to deny ourselves. Amen? Because when we're able to look past the noise and see people for who they are and what they are and what God intends, we are able to begin to construct or weave unity with those around us. Amen? We don't have to be the same. We don't have to look the same. We don't have to talk the same. We don't have to have the same backgrounds. Because we got the same God. Do you hear that? None of the stuff and resumes and histories matter. Because we have the same God. And the same Son that he gave for you, he gave for me. And if we can't figure out how to put aside our pettiness in order to give him glory, well, that's our problem. That's our problem. That's our issue. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world, that they, verse 24, that they may behold my glory. I had 6 verses, and we're going to get through one of them today. Amen? This series might take all year. Amen? But I think it's important, so we're going to spend time with it. Amen? Jesus tells us the plan. Right here in this verse, Jesus tells us the plan, that they may behold my glory. And the problem, friend, is from every church and doctrine and ministry and everything going on in this world, and I could soapbox that stuff all day long, but all of it wrapped together, if it is not centered on Jesus, if it is not centered on his glory, if he is not the main thing of it, then it is not worth us losing each other because of. What do you mean by that, Jay? Because I like so-and-so. I have no problem with so-and-so. I'm all locked in over here. Okay. Okay. If I can be okay with you being locked in over there, you should be able to be okay with me not being locked in over there. Amen. Why? Because I am praying for your good, and I am praying for the glory of God to be revealed. Amen. What does that mean? It means if the glory of God isn't being revealed over there in that their ministry, whatever it is, I'm expecting God to show you. But if I'm praying against it just out of my own indifference, and I'm praying against it just out of my own anger, my own puffiness, my own self-indulgence, amen, then I'm not approaching it the way I should approach it. Why? Because I need to be weaving myself with you. I need to figure out how that works. We can agree to disagree on this, and we can agree to disagree on this, but if we're agreeing to disagree on the glory of Jesus Christ because we can't get over each other because of this or because of that, man, we are missing the point. We're missing the point. And what's the point? The point is God's glory. Jesus tells us the plan right here. The plan right here is he wants us where he is. Amen? He wants us where he is. Amen? When God called out to Adam in the garden, what did he say? He said, "Where are you?" Amen? Why? Because God wanted him where God was. God didn't want him where the enemy was. God didn't want him where the apple took him. God didn't want him in the knowledge that would bring sin and bring curses and bring damnation into his life. God didn't want him there. So God was leading him in glory. But it was Adam and Eve who decided that that wasn't good enough, so I'm going to go pick an apple. Amen? We've got to choose the glory of God, friends, because that's what this is all about. This is all about God's glory. This is all about him being lifted up. Amen. And what do? Oh, I want to protect my family. Well, I want to do this. I want to do that. Do you not believe God's big enough to do that? I mean, really, seriously. Do you not believe that God isn't big enough to do that? Amen. And isn't big enough to lead you in how to do that? Amen. My kids went to a Christian school. I didn't like everything that the teachers in that Christian school believed. Did I hold that against them? No. Did I make my children hate them because they believed something different than I believed? No. But what did I do? I instructed my kids at the dinner table at home. And you can, I'll stand right here and you can go ask my boys, well, how often did y'all eat at the dinner table? Every stinking evening. Amen. Why? Because that was my opportunity to pastor my household. That was my opportunity to speak truth and life into my children. There's no TV show. There's no social media platform. There's no football team. There's no nothing more important than that. So we would sit at the table every evening. Unless there was a sports game or a sports contest, amen. And then guess who our kids rode with? Us. And guess who we talked about in the car? Jesus. Amen. We found every opportunity to make him the main thing. Amen. Why? Because he wants us with him. And he wants to share his glory with us. Amen? His glory is not your glory. His glory isn't your feelings. His glory isn't your feel-good, and it isn't your affirmation, and it isn't the things that you seek after because Adam ate a stupid apple, and your flesh desires to please itself. And that's what we wrestle with, and that's what we argue with, and that's what we combat all the time. It's not other people, but it's our emotional need and our need for affirmation and our need to feel whatever it is that we need to feel. Amen. If you're going to truly deny yourself, you need to replace that with a desire for his glory. A desire for his glory. Amen? And all of this, amen? And I know, some of you ain't going to like it. Some of you going to text me. Some of you going to email me. Some of you going to talk about me. Amen? That's okay. But talk about me the right way. If you think I'm wrong, talk about me the right way. Find a way to weave God's glory into the conversation. Amen. For my purpose. Amen. Because I make that promise to you. I have not prayed a hateful thing or said a hateful thing about anybody here. Maybe to you I've said something, digging a little bit and playing around a little bit and everything else, but man, when I talk to Jesus about you, it's for glory. It's for hope and it's for help. It's for peace. It's for healing. Amen. Because I know he doesn't respect me any more than he respects you. Amen. And I want for you what he's done for me. I want you to live in the peace, and I want you to live in the love, and I want you to live in the glory of God that I live in every day. I want you to have that. I want you to live there. Because, man, there's a whole lot of other scriptures that tell us the difference. That when we talk about people, do you know what we're doing? Not only are we really revealing who we are, not only are we really revealing that we're more about the curse and the apple than we are God, but what we're doing is we're bringing sickness and damnation on ourselves. Scripture tells us that. Amen. That many of us are sick and many of us are afflicted because of the way we talk about each other. Because of the way we treat each other. Amen. So this isn't just about glory, but this is about you finding your way to God. So you can walk away from the things that you're really cursing yourself with. That you're really cursing your family with. The things that you're cultivating into them as part of a lifestyle that was never meant to be part of a lifestyle. Amen. We can argue curses and spirits and this and that and the other all day long. But the reality of this is, if I have sown this into someone else, then I've cursed them with it. I've made it a reality for them. And maybe they formed habits around it. Amen. And we can't find glory in those places. We can't. Why? Because the sin curse is still there. Amen. Jesus defeated it. Jesus broke it. Amen. But man still revels in it. Man still desires it. Because they can't tell the flesh no. And until we can tell the flesh no, fully denying ourselves, it will always grip people's lives. Amen. But Jesus today has given us an invitation. An invitation that many of us maybe didn't even know existed in Scripture. Jesus has given us an invitation to be with him. To be with him. To be where he is. To be present. To see his glory. For years, people left and right, I saw this thumbing through Facebook one night or one afternoon at the office when I was bored on a conference call. If you see me on Facebook a lot, I'm in a lot of boring conference calls. And I'm thumbing through it, and I see this, and so I share it. And I say this, man, it rubbed people the wrong way. Sometimes when you step where people are living, it's hard for them to get past it. But I said this, and I meant it. Told them I meant it. We live in a day where we want to feed our emotional spirituality. Right? We want to feel the goosebumps. We want to have the big grand experiences. Amen. Because we haven't matured enough to learn that soft, quiet experience in the closet is bigger than any stage performance that we'll ever experience, that we'll ever feel. And so some of us are still seeking those big, as we call them, quote unquote, moves. Right? And so I saw this thing and I shared it. And, you know, I put my thoughts with it because I was just kind of in numb land and didn't think about it. And I said, and it goes for those who are always seeking a move. Because if you're seeking a move, you don't realize that God's always moving. God is always moving and God is always working and God is always manifesting his glory. Always. And if we need a move, we're just not where he is. We're just not present in what he's doing. So we're seeking something that moves us rather than moving into him. Amen. Because you see, that's the call. And Jesus gives us that call here in John, and he says to us, I want you to be where I am. He says that to every single one of you this morning. I want you to be where I am. And I want you to see my glory. Man, do we grab that? I mean, I read that and man, tears just welled up in my eyes, and I read it again, and I read it again, and I read it again, and I'm just like, right? I want you where I am. Quit begging me to come where you are, Jay. Quit begging me to come there. You come where I am. You see people the way I see them. You experience the life the way I experience it. Come where I am. You'll see my glory. You'll see my strength. You'll see my power. You want to move? Come where I am and stay where I am. Man, you'll see a move. You'll see a move every day. We'll heal sick. We'll set captives free. We'll speak life. We'll change people's lives where I am. Where I am, demons will flee. Where I am, lives will change. Where I am, marriages will heal and restore. Where I am, drunks will lay down their bottle. And where I am, the addict will be restored. Church. It's where he wants us. It's where we have the opportunity to be every day where he is. Amen. Quit picking apples. Quit picking apples. Quit looking for the easy way. Quit looking for the quick way. Just be where he is. Just talk like he talks. Just let his glory fill you, change you, make a difference in you. I don't know. That if you need a move, that moves me. It moves me to think that Jesus prays for me to be where he is. Not for attention either. So that I can see his glory. Man, some of us are chasing our own glory to the point that we don't even care about his glory. Right? Man, what an invitation. Come where I am, that I can show you my glory. Amen. I'll share on the app later today. I'll share on the app the other scriptures for today. And I want to just say this quickly, because in Romans and in Corinthians, you're going to get into it, that the scriptures talk about us being many members but one body. Amen. Anybody know how many bones are in the body? It's two something, right? 200 something? 209? Okay. How many vertebrae do we have? Huh? 33 vertebrae. How many muscles in the body? I don't know. I'm just asking, right? So for this to move and for this to walk and this exist, there are a lot of members. But there's one body. Amen. And no member is better than another. Because we all comprise the one that God intended. Amen. So as we dig into this concept and this idea of unity, if you're not interested in God's glory, if you're not interested in the glory of Jesus Christ, you won't have unity. There's no need for unity. Amen. You must prioritize His glory. You must prioritize it. I mean, did you hear how so-and-so cut me off? I didn't really pay any attention to it because I'm focused on God's glory. He invited me there, and I'm going to stay there, so I'm not going to dwell in those things. I'll love them. I'll pray for them. Amen. And I'll make sure God gives them an opportunity for glory too. Amen. You see, for us to really understand biblical unity, we have to understand the glory of God. Otherwise, you'll never seek it. You'll never pursue it. You'll never want it. Because you will matter more than that other person. But when you make it about the glory of God, when you make it about Him and His presence, kind of gives it a different look, doesn't it? Kind of makes it fresh, right? No, just me? Y'all good? You with me? Yeah. Right. It makes unity take on a whole new look and a whole new face when it's about His glory and not about me. Amen. So let's stand and sing this morning.